I love the fact that Paul doesn't just say that it's the sins of the flesh, that he doesn't just relegate it to overeating or, those kinds of things, but he talks about the emotional component of it. And we're going to find out here later on about how the Holy Spirit actually speaks into our emotions and helps us live a healthy emotional life as well. But there are envy, jealousy, bitterness, those things that happen. That the Holy Spirit is what gives us the power to walk against those things when they rise up, because it happens to us. We live in a family, and you're going to experience opportunities, to have envy, to have jealousy, to be bitter. Especially the blended families and the broken families that we're around, we're dealing with that. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives us that authority and that power to walk opposite. So let's look at Roman numeral number 2 on top of page 3. God created us in three parts. We need to remember this. A lot of times we compartmentalize ourselves, right? We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. By design, he could have done it any other way. When you look at nature, there's all different kinds of ways that beings are created. The earthworm doesn't have to have another earthworm to make our earthworms, right? I'm so glad that's not the reality for us. But we are created in a triune way because we're supposed to walk out the nature of God in our bodies every day. So if we have a vibrant spirit and our soul is healthy and our body is healthy, what a statement that makes to the principalities and the powers. There is God walking. There's the image of God walking in the earth. So why does the enemy use the body so often to take your spirit out, right? You get sick in the body? It's really hard to maintain a vibrant spirit when your body is sick and you're aching and so the call to take care of our bodies, why is that important? It's important for our health and so that we can sustain in ministry, but it's also important to take care of our spirit. Well, the same thing goes with our soul. Something happens in our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, right? We struggling with depression. You could immediately see it in the body. And is your spirit vibrant? We're connected. We're very connected. So we can't just, and that's what kind of some of this got off balance early on in the early church, right? It was like, well, you got to destroy the body because it's all about being in the spirit. Well, that doesn't work. You're out there with chains and whips and whatever, and you're beating your body and your blood. Sorry, but that doesn't work. God calls us to take care of every facet of our being in righteousness. And that's where the vibrancy comes. So if we're cultivating a relationship with the Holy Spirit, can we ask him for wisdom in regards to our body? Absolutely. We need to. We need to ask him for wisdom on dieting. We need to ask him for the wisdom on food choices. Ask him for the wisdom on stress and rest and, really invite a dialogue about your body. So often we'll go to a bookshelf or we'll Google it or we'll take somebody else's opinion or what worked for somebody else. And it's failing. Did you ever think to sit? Maybe the Holy Spirit has something completely different for you. If he searches the deep mysteries of God, maybe he knows exactly what your body needs. And maybe you need to sit with him and say, what do I need to be well? I've been having trouble sleeping. I'm in this weird insomnia thing. And I've been before the Lord. I said, okay, I know what some of this is. Some of this is the natural stuff, right? We got puppies that are, a few months old and, blah, blah, blah. I know the natural stuff. And I know that when you get into a routine, it's hard to, your body begins to wake up in certain, whatever. So I know that there's just that natural stuff. But I began to ask him, I said, what's going on? What am I carrying? I know I'm carrying something. Where's the stress? Larry says to me, well, just shut your mind off. I'm like, if it was only that simple, I wish that I could. He goes, no, this is what you do. You get in bed and you think about that cup of coffee in the morning that you're going to have. And I'm thinking, yeah, who's making you that cup of coffee in the morning that you're going to have? That's me, thinking I got to get up and make sure that he's got his cup of coffee. So see, there goes the mind. It doesn't work. He doesn't have, that's not his struggle. That's not, sleep, whatever, that's not his struggle. He just needs more of it and have more opportunities for it. But I'm like, Lord, what am I carrying?
She keeps me awake all night, getting up and down and up and down and up and down.
Probably do, yeah. So I'm part of the problem.
It's
of your sleep.
Not a man's struggle.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm beginning to realize the Lord is teaching me something because what are we doing? We're preparing for a women's conference, right? And every time we go to prepare for a women's conference, the Lord says, I want you to walk some stuff. And I'm like, okay, I get it. The busy mind. that busy mind? How many things are we actually carrying that is not our job to carry? How do we lay that down? How do we, so I'm walking part of it, but I've invited the dialogue. What I'm here to say is I've invited the dialogue. And the Holy Spirit said something really neat to me. And I love the sound of his voice. He says, be kind to yourself. And I stopped. I literally stopped. It was in mid, I don't know, in between two rooms. And I went, what do you mean? What does that look like? And I just stood there for a minute. And I had this beautiful image of candlelight, bubble bath, quiet time. And I went, I literally said this, I can do that. I mean, I can do that. I mean, in the middle of the afternoon, I could go take a bubble bath. I know that sounds crazy, but to me, that's like, well, maybe if you have time at the end of your day, you might be able to get a bath before you go to bed, because that's always been the routine. At the end of it, you're exhausted as a mom, you go to bed. And I went, and it felt, I have to tell you, it felt like a guilty pleasure. I mean, it felt like one of those things like, this should be illegal. You mean to tell me I can do that? And I laid there, and my first thing was, and I grabbed a book. I couldn't read that thing for nothing. He's like, no, don't read the book, because that was always a routine, you know, because that was your reading time. You know, you could go and read. And I'm like, no book. Okay. And I just laid there, and he just invited me to pay attention to my body. I realized my heart was racing. Mm-hmm. I could hear the blood in my ears. I was trembling. There was all of these stress signs that were going on, and I went, whoa, something's out of balance here. We're, you know, you could feel that meter ticking, and I just felt the weight of it, and I just laid there. I couldn't read. I just laid there in the bubble bath and just said, wow, I need to take some time. I just did some deep, slow breaths. So he will talk to you about your body. He will talk to you about what you need if you listen. So we are three in one, spirit, soul, and body. Our inner man is comprised of the spirit, the soul, which houses our mind, our emotions, and our will. Our outer man is our physical body, and all three of those are important. Not one of them outside of the other is more important than the other. I know there's a lot of people that focus on, well, it's just the body. No. You could have the best physique in the world and have a shriveled soul. So he calls us to be vibrant in all areas. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This is a prayer. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. He doesn't say, well, I just hope that, you know, when your soul gets to heaven, he's saying to them, I hope that your spirit, your soul, and your body are preserved blameless. That was his prayer. So as we begin to carry these pastors of the corridor, and as we're carrying these ministers, look at how many ministers have struggled, seriously struggled in their body. Horribly, almost like taking them out of the ministry in their body. Are we praying for them? We need to begin to pray that their whole spirit, their soul, and their body would be preserved blameless and begin to hold up their health. 2 Corinthians 16, another prayer, says, our outward man is perishing. The inward man is being renewed. Every day we die a little bit more in this flesh, right? It doesn't reverse. It's just getting older and it's dying. As I'm tending to aging parents, I'm watching the opposite of that, that to have an outward man perish and the inward man perish. It is sad. It is really, really sad. This last visit was good in the sense that I had a couple of midnight conversations with my mom because she can't sleep because of her breathing and I can't sleep because of, you know, so we had some good conversations. But in which I was trying to encourage her spirit to take root in the truth that she knows, so that even though her outward body may be perishing, her inward man could be vibrant, could be renewed, could be, you know, soaring. I came across an article that John Piper actually wrote. It's called Don't Waste This Cancer. And it was very challenging, and it was very good, in which here he is struggling with, I think it was prostate cancer, and how God walked him through that about not wasting it. Don't waste it. You know, we fear, and we do, because our bodies hold great control over us, right? But what if we could get to that place because of our walk with the Holy Spirit and our fellowship with the Holy Spirit, that even if something tragic like that happens to us, we go into, and our prayer becomes not so much about save my skin as it becomes, Lord, don't let me waste it. And if you choose to heal me in the process and I walk through, okay, but don't let me waste it. Let me use every opportunity, every doctor, every poke of the needle, every, you know, that it becomes one of those opportunities to share the truth about who you are on the inside. Wow, what a radical difference that would be. What if our leaders, again, if our leaders that were leading our congregations were that way? That it wasn't so much about saving their skin as it was about using every opportunity to minister to the truth of the gospel. How different would those congregations begin to look then? So that though our outward body may be perishing, the inward man is being renewed. God beautifies our inner man, the hidden person of the heart. I love that. By releasing his spirit in us. 1 Peter 3. Do not let your adornment be merely outward. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty. I like that. Incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit. And then in Colossians 3:10, put on the new man who is renewed according to the image of him. Do you realize that a spirit that is rich and deep in God and in fellowship and in communion is beautiful? You can have an exterior that is homely and a spirit that is in love with God and is vibrant, and that is all that people will see. They will see the beauty of God at work in that person's life. And so, you know, especially as women, right? And I'm not saying men are excluded. You know, we like to be beautiful. We like to be handsome. How are we tending the true inner beauty by cultivating a life in the Holy Spirit? That is what makes us truly beautiful. At the new birth, the Holy Spirit comes to live in our spirit as a real person. Now, this is where we could probably spend several class times. And I know that Larry's going to be preparing to kind of go down this whole thing with the deacon process. But at the new birth, the Holy Spirit comes to live in our spirit as a real person. It's not some magic, hocus-pocus kind of ethereal thing. Literally, the third person of the Trinity is within you. Which is why Paul later on goes and says, don't you know who you are? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Why are you doing this stuff over here? That would you normally, in the natural, would you bring the temple into a situation like that? Or would you allow something like that to happen in the temple? And they would be like, no, that would be defilement. That would be disgraceful. That would be desecrating. But you're doing this, don't you know who you are? And so that within itself begins to be one of those things that judges us when we realize the third person of the Trinity lives within us. Why would we want to desecrate our body? Why would we want to do that? If we love him and we're in fellowship with him, why would we do that? We wouldn't. It becomes a greater motivator. So the third person of the Trinity lives within. The uncreated life of God dwelling in us is the core reality of the new birth. What is the new birth? The uncreated life of God dwelling in you. That's the new birth. That's why it was such a mystery, why it was so radical. We look at it as, oh, well, you know, they got saved or whatever. No. Do you understand what happened? And I think it's important for us to push against that. Especially those of us that have been in the church for any length of time or whatever, we're not seeing people come into the salvation. So that joy of the babies getting born, it's not in our midst. We get complacent, we get kind of aloof to the reality of this beautiful work of God that happens. So we need to begin to pray, Lord, we need the spirit of salvation to go forth in this quarter. We want the new birth. We want people to be experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit and their lives getting changed and them coming into the reality that they are no longer that same person. We want the joy of that. Yeah, it's messy. But boy, when you're holding that baby in your arms, there's no better smell. There's no better feeling, right? And I think that is why a lot of our churches are lacking joy. Where are the conversions? The real conversions. Where are they? We need to pray for that. Lord, that the new birth would actually happen. That the joy of the body would be full when people realize the uncreated life of God has come to dwell within you. And you are now a new being. It causes us all to remember the joy of our salvation, right? So we need to pray for this. The new birth is much more than being forgiven. It emphasizes being born into a new connectedness with the Spirit. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born again. There's no option to this. The must is the must. I mean, it's you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You must be born again. I mean, how many times do we come into situations and we realize that it's been just a, I remember it when I was a kid. I'd said the prayer. I said the words because that's what Mom had wanted me to say. But it wasn't until much later in my walk that all of a sudden I realized, that's what it means to be born again. And that's where the power comes. So just letting people slide by and letting people slide through, we're doing a great disservice. We're doing a great disservice. You must be born again. There's no option. And so to ask the question and to challenge in those situations and in those points, I mean, look at the early church. We read the Didache, right? There was an examination process. Mm-hmm. Of course, part of it was, you know, the persecution. They didn't want just anybody because they were being infiltrated by spies and this and that. But the other part of it was, do you really understand what you signed up for? Here's the real deal. You know, I mean, this is what it means to serve Jesus Christ. This is what it means to have him as Lord and Savior. Is that what your heart is saying yes to? Do you understand the call? The glory of the new covenant is that at our birth, the Spirit makes us one spirit with God. That is so mind-blowing. That is just so mind-blowing. Because then that means, let me stretch you, then that means when you go to the grocery store and you fill out your shopping list and you've got your cart, then that means that God is shopping. So to take Terry's message, do you war with God when you're shopping and it's about you and your wants and God is saying, no, let's do whatever? Do you see the person in the line ahead of you and you have the unction to pay for that person's groceries or to do whatever and you refuse to do that? Because how many times has God gone shopping with us and he's desired to do something here and we've quenched that. We're going to talk a little bit later about what does it mean to quench the Holy Spirit. If we're one spirit with God, then that means literally when you wake, when you sleep, when you rise, when you eat, when you go, when you come, it's not I come to church and I meet God. You are one spirit with God. How many things has he been desiring to speak to you, through you, in you about that we're like little kid that's like, no, I don't want to hear it. It's his life. He paid for it. If you are truly born again, and this is where we're pushing, if you're truly born again, you don't want to live the old life because you've been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. You've been made a new creature. Your desire is to live the life that he's called you to live. That's the war. If you're not warring, we need to talk. I'm here Mondays, you know, 11 to 4. We need to visit. We need to visit, okay? It's his life. Let him live it. And he's going to cause it to be radical. I mean, yes, you will probably do things you had never thought in the world that you would do. Taking dogs for walks in places that you probably never would, you know? Things will happen. Things will happen because it's his life. Do you have something to add to that? No? Okay. The glory of the new covenant is that our new birth, the Spirit, makes us one spirit with God. And here's the scripture. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. It's one of those questions. Am I joined to the Lord then? I mean, you have to ask. Am I? You know him, the Holy Spirit, for he dwells with you. And will be in you. Jesus is promising this in the Gospel of John. He says, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. God deposited his seed or his very life into our spirit. The eternal, uncreated life of God came to live in us at the new birth. One purpose for this was to destroy the works of darkness in us. A lot of times our focus is outward. You got to remember, it starts with us. As much as we desire to go bang on those prison doors and rattle those gates of hell and do all that stuff, have you spent time judging yourself, as we spoke of in our first lesson, right, about what does it mean to actually agree in prayer? It means to judge. Have you spent time? Have you let the Holy Spirit work on those places of darkness in you? Has he done war against those things that, you know, rise up? Yeah, I think we could all sit there forever. One purpose. Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. One purpose for this was to destroy the works of darkness in us. The one born of God no longer lives in habitual sin as they formerly did, but wages war against it. You realize there's a difference between living in your sin and struggling with sin. Mm-hmm. There's a difference. One is, oh, well, you know. Yeah. And then that sloppy grace gets applied. Oh, well, you know, I'm just saved and going to heaven, whatever. There's a whole other thing to say, I am really, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is really weak. And you begin to invite that companionship, prayer, reading your word, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. You're working on it versus, oh, well, this is just who I am. No, it's not. I'm so mad at that phrase. I just want to smack it. No, it's not. You are an image bearer of the Almighty God with the Holy Spirit, the uncreated life of God living within you, who is waging war against your flesh. And so that's a comfort for us in the sense that we can say, you know what? I haven't conquered it yet, but we're on the way. We are doing warfare. We're doing battle with this stuff. And that's a good place to be. And it's good to see that in one another, to encourage one another when you're seeing them warring. This is good. This is good. How can I help? Right? How can I help? How can I come alongside you in this? What do you need? I love that. Jerry, since she's not here, I can talk about her. One of the things early on, I was really struggling with this whole anger issue stuff going on and just this self-pity junk. And I was wanting to escape from church, you know, how we do. And she stops. And there's no getting around Jerry at times, right? And she just stops and she grabs me and she gives me one of her Jerry hugs and she just says to me, what do you need? Oh, it broke me. Broke me. Yeah. Broke me down. I mean, that was it. Because I heard the Lord say to me, not judging, not beating me over the head, not, you know, you worm, worm, worm. It was, what do you need? And she asked that question 3 times. Wow. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to start asking. And what I found is that I needed to know that I needed that reassurance that, yes, you are with me. You haven't forsaken me. You're the friend that sticks closer than any brother. You've given me the power to conquer this. You have all, I mean, pretty soon all of the comfort of the scriptures that I knew began to come alive at a whole nother place, because now I had a beautiful, soft voice and warm arms holding me saying, I have everything you need. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us to one another. That was definitely the Holy Spirit speaking through Jerry to me at that very moment saying, and he will do that for you. That's why we do this in community. We need one another. Okay. What's that?
The daily bread.
The daily bread. Exactly right. 1 John 3:8-9. Jesus was manifested. I love that. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin habitually, uncontested, for his seed remains in him. First of all, Jesus was manifested. That means to be brought into being. That means to be made known, to be touchable. He was manifested. Until he became a man, he was spirit. Now there is a human heart that is beating in the Trinity for the very first time. God is spirit, the Holy Spirit is spirit, and Jesus Christ stands fully man. He didn't leave his body. He didn't despise his flesh. He picked it up, scars included. And now there's a human heart that is beating in the Trinity. He was manifested. He became flesh. If we're not in love with that, how are we going to stand an hour in the prayer closet? If we're not in love with the fact that God became flesh, became a baby, helpless, needed to be nursed at his mother's breast, fell down, skinned his knee, went through all the things on the playground that everybody goes through, was misunderstood, rejected, despised, wasn't even cute. It says there was nothing about him that would make anybody want him. He was not even cute. He was just the average person. He was manifested to destroy the works of the flesh. Jesus is a high priest according to the power of the Spirit, who's described as an indestructible life. Do you realize what lives within you is the indestructible life? As you're trying to get to understand who the Holy Spirit is, he will come to you and he will speak about who he is in every situation. I am the indestructible life. You cannot kill this. Nothing can come against it. There's no fear that can conquer it. Death can't even separate it. I'm indestructible. That's what lives within you. You know, you think of the little kids that run around with their little capes, right? You know, and they play the Superman, the Batman, the Hulk, whatever it is that they play, and they have that attitude of, I'm indestructible. That's what lives within you. You're indestructible. This life that you have will go on forever. Nothing. The day that you take your last breath upon this earth right here does not kill your life. Wow. It's indestructible. That's how the Holy Spirit will begin to minister to you. He says, I'm the indestructible life. In other words, the Spirit has the power to destroy all the lust and the darkness that opposes him. When we are praying for people that are in situations of extreme darkness, you know what? The darkness can't conquer the indestructible life. If we're facing darkness, it can't conquer the indestructible life. And so we can go into our times of prayer and intercession for people and things and knowing that we win going in. It doesn't matter what's presenting. The indestructible life, nothing can oppose it. And though for a while, right, it may seem that you are being persecuted to the point of despair, or you are being burdened with more than you can handle, or put your parenthesis in there. What you need to remind yourself, and what the Holy Spirit will be really good about reminding you, is the indestructible life conquers all. And though you may not be able to see it right this minute, joy comes in the morning. There is no death. There is no sting in death, because death has been conquered. There is nothing that you're going to face that you cannot walk through in victory because of the life of Christ in you. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. There's not one petition that we could present before him and him say, ooh, I don't know if I can handle that one. And yet a lot of times we treat the petitions just like, well, maybe you might want to, yes, maybe do answer this one for us.